And that's what we've been talking about, you know, these past few weeks. Fight for the woman, but not only for the woman, the man, the children. Fight for the family. Amen. And I'll say this because we had talked the past week about some of these things and how you can tell you're a nation in decline and different things that are going on. And one of the main reasons that we are a nation in decline and the Roman Empire and all the things we had talked about a couple weeks ago, the number one was the high rate of divorce and the deterioration of the family in America. Amen. One of the main reasons is because of the high rate of divorce in this country and the deterioration of the nuclear family. Amen. Listen, if we're going to sit here like a wooden Indian and not be the church, then the world's going to be the world. Amen. We have got to stop these things. We're the church. The high rate of divorce, do you know why? Because it's so easy just to give up and quit and not work on your marriage. Amen. The high rate of divorce in this country and the deterioration of the family, the breakdown of the family. We have got to hold on to the blessings and the promises of God. We have to fight for our families. We got to fight for our children so we can pass the blessings on to the next generation. Amen. It's important. We've got to fight for the next generation. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to 1 Kings. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21. Say amen when you get there. 1 Kings. It's right before 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Boy, Ahab was a nasty man, wasn't he? Amen. Naboth had a vineyard. Thank you. Naboth had a vineyard right next to King Ahab. So Ahab spoke to Naboth. He said, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, right next to my house. And for it, I will give you a vineyard better than that one. Or, if it seems good to you," he said, "I'll give you money for it. I'll buy it from you if it seems good to you." But Naboth said to Ahab, everybody say, "The Lord forbid." The Lord forbid. Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this right here this morning, that mighty, mighty covenant blessing for families. It was a mighty, mighty covenant blessing for families of the spiritual inheritance that God had given each and every one of us. Everybody say, "Pass it on." Everybody say, "Pass it on." Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Father, that there is a spiritual inheritance that you have given us. Father, we thank you, God, that there are blessings that you have passed down from our fathers to their fathers to their fathers to their fathers, God, and we are to pass them on to our children. So, Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you for the covenant promise of a spiritual inheritance in Jesus' name. The story is centered around Naboth. Naboth appears in this chapter, but his origin goes all the way back for generations of faith. His father's father, his father's father, his father's father, ultimately all the way back to Abraham. His name in Hebrew, Naboth, means to be fruitful or to sprout. It means to sprout or to be fruitful. This is not the first time that we hear of this family, okay? We know biblically it tells us that he was from the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of a man named Joseph. Joseph was the man who had such family crisis that it seemed impossible that his family would ever be put back together. Amen. It's the weirdest thing all the time. In case y'all missed that, my voice started talking to me. Joseph was a man that had such family crisis in his family that it seemed impossible that his family would ever be put back together. You remember it was Joseph's brothers who tried to kill him. They had threw him in a pit. Amen. They lied. They sent him into Egypt and sold him as a slave. His own family did that to him. His own family did that to him. And it was Joseph who, at the end of the story, looks at those same family members that had hurt him so bad. And then comes the famous 50-20 rule. Everybody say 50-20. Then comes the famous 50-20 rule that every single family under the sound of my voice, every person, every family, you must get this down in your soul. I'm here to tell you, lest Satan devour and defeat your family. You have got to get this in your soul. Satan, he'll divide and conquer. That's his goal. Get this in your soul, lest Satan divides and destroys your family. He looked at his family. Joseph did not just address this to anybody. Joseph looked at his family and he says to them, he looked at the family members that had done him wrong. They had deeply, deeply hurt him. They caused him to do 13 years in prison. Ultimately, it was their fault. 13 years for a crime he didn't commit. The man had went through hell because of his family. And he looked at them and he said in Genesis 50:20, "You meant it, family." He's saying this to his family, his brothers. He said, "You meant it, family, for evil against me, but God meant it for my good." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we must learn that in a family crisis. We must learn to understand that the enemy, Satan, is out to disconnect us from our own family. Amen. Satan is out to disconnect us from our own family. He wants the family to hate one another, to not speak to one another, to have nothing to do with one another, because he knows the family is linked to the inheritance and the blessing that God has for you that will overtake your family. If he can separate your family, if he can keep you fighting, he knows that there is an inheritance, and if he can separate the family, he can stop the blessing that's coming that's going to overtake your family. We must learn to get the spirit of Joseph to say to family members that I see beyond flesh and blood. I do not war against flesh and blood. I see that you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. Amen. We got to get that in our spirit when you're in a family crisis. Don't know who needs to hear that. But you've got to get that in your spirit. Genesis 49, look at this. Joseph already had to win a battle in his family, right? He had already had to win the battle in his family. And when he did, the blessing just kept flowing to his son named Manasseh, who ultimately became one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Interesting, right? This is powerful now. I'll show this to you. Y'all follow me? Y'all follow me so far? Joseph's father was a man named Jacob. Jacob was on his deathbed in Genesis chapter 49. And he called all of his sons in and he gives them a prophetic word over their life. He lays hands on them and he prays for them and he gives them a prophetic word over their life. And he gives Joseph a word that is completely different than every other son that he gives them a word to. And this is what he said. Look at 49:22, Genesis 49:22. He said, "Joseph, as he laid his hands on him and he prayed his last prayer on him, he is on his deathbed and he says, 'Joseph, you will be a fruitful vine, a vine near a spring with branches that are overflowing over the wall.'" Come on, somebody. He gave him a prophetic word and he said, "Joseph, you are a fruitful vine." In other words, there's something in you, son, that is going to cause you to possess land. There is something in you that is going to cause you to be fruitful. And when you touch it, the world's going to call it a green thumb. But let me tell you something, son, it ain't got nothing to do with your thumb. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with your thumb. This is a gifting that will come into your family. I pronounce it over you by the moving of the Holy Spirit in me. Joseph said, "I am prophesying over you, son, that you are going to be a fruitful vine." Amen. Amen. You are going to be a fruitful vine, and it will be passed down from you to your son Manasseh, from Manasseh to another, to another. Come on, y'all. To another, to another. And then we get to this man in 1 Kings chapter 21 named Naboth, whose name was not picked out of a hat. Amen. His name was not picked out of a hat of many names. He was given the name because it was in his family. The name Naboth means to be fruitful, to sprout, or to be fruitful. He was given that name. It was in his family. And then in this 21st chapter of 1 Kings, it starts off talking about the fact that he had such a fruitful vineyard. Now you follow me? It starts off with the fact that he has such a fruitful vineyard that the king's palace budded right up next to his property, okay? And even though the king's property was so much more fancy, so much more beautiful, so much more taken care of, servants everywhere, every day, taking care of every little detail, the Bible says that the king looked out and saw his vineyard. Said the king looked out and saw Naboth's vineyard and how prosperous the vineyard was. And he's looking at all of his and he says, I want that right there. He said, I want that vineyard right there. That's better than all my money can buy. That vineyard is prosperous. That vineyard is bountiful. My money can't buy it. It's better than all the property I own. Listen, he owned every hill as far as the eye could see. And he said, I want that one. None of mine are as prosperous as this one. And then he became the envy. Naboth became the envy of the king. There are blessings that can be carried from generation to generation. Listen to me. There's no question about that, y'all. And we need them. We need to pass them on. Everybody say, pass it on. Everybody say, pass it on. There are generations and blessings that will come from generation to generation to generation to generation. And that's what blessed me about this story. Watch this. That's what blessed me about this. Because it was passed down from generation to generation, all the way down, and it's not by accident. Don't let your godly inheritance die, church. Amen. Don't let your godly inheritance die, church. We must protect our inheritance. We must pass it on. He said, I ain't taking money for it. He said, I don't want, that's what Naboth said. You'll try to give me money? He said, I'm not taking money. The enemy will disconnect you from your inheritance. Satan wants to disconnect families. Listen to me. Get parents to not speak to children. Get children to not speak to parents. Divide husbands and wives. Disconnect them. Destroy their godly inheritance. Amen. That's what he wants to do. Some blessings should never die. Church, some blessings should never die. Prayer should never die in your family. Prayers never died. You know the Bible says clearly that every tear you shed in prayer, every tear you shed in worship, he bottles it up and stores it from generation. Read Psalm 56. He said, I store them up and store them for generation to generation. God bottles them up in heaven. It says that they're stored up. And there are some blessings that should never die. Can I tell you, worship should never die. Worship should never die. It should keep going and be passed down from generation to generation. Worship should never die. Worshiping together as a family, worshiping in here on Sunday, there should never be a generation that is not in this church on Sunday worshiping the Lord. Amen. Ever. We have to keep that going, guys. It should never die. It should never have a generation that doesn't show up. It's got to happen. It's critical to the family. Thank you. This is critical to the family. It's got to happen. Giving, tithing, honoring God in your finances, that should never die. It should never stop in a family. We have got to pass the blessings on. Amen. Amen. And we have an advantage. You see this? The world don't understand this. The world don't know this. We have an advantage. The Bible says when you give and you tithe, the blessing, it'll open up the store with that. You can't even contain it. Why are we not teaching our children this stuff? Church, some things should never die. Man, well, I don't have time. I just can't get there. Listen, I want to tell you something. He will pour out so much blessing on you. Oh. You know what the Bible says? I don't have time to go there. Listen. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The Bible says that God gave credit to a man named Levi. Amen. One of the 12 tribes of Israel, God gave credit to a man. Listen, because Abraham offered his tithes, the Bible says God gave credit. It was in his genes. It was in Levi's genes. Come on, y'all. That was better than you. It was in his genes. The Bible says that God credited Levi with spiritual blessings over generations because Abraham tithed. It was in his genes. It was his spiritual inheritance. Some of y'all are going to talk about that on the way home. Listen, some blessings should never die. Prayer should never die. Giving, worship, cooking. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm from down south. Cooking should never die. Teach your kids how to cook. Amen. Now, come on, y'all. I like y'all churches. Cooking should never die. Sports should be passed on. Amen. Music should be passed on. Music should be passed on. Preaching should be passed on. Business, entrepreneurship, all this stuff should be passed on. Dreaming, having visions, this should all be passed on. Amen. For the next generation. Hallelujah. Kindness should be passed on. It should be transmitted to our children. Pass it on. Make sure you're passing something on, church. Amen. The only reason God is giving you children is to perpetuate the kingdom of God for another generation. The only reason God gives you children is to perpetuate the kingdom of God on this earth. He did not give you children to dress them up and let them look cute. He gave you children so the kingdom of God would continue for another generation and another generation and another generation. That's why he gave you children. Pass it on. Don't let your godly inheritance die. Pass it on. You got to get a hold of this. He didn't give you sons and daughters just to have them. Naboth was fruitful because it was passed down as his spiritual inheritance. Do you understand that? It was passed down as his spiritual inheritance. It was prophesied. It was passed down. And when the king looked at his vineyard, he became so envious of it. He didn't know that there was more behind it than just being a good gardener. Y'all missed it. See, the king's looking down. He didn't realize that there's more behind it than just being a good gardener. It was the fact that God had given that land to the family. And God said, I will prosper what your hand touches, and it will become fruitful, and it will become prosperous. Ain't got nothing to do with your gardening skills, Tara. He was more than a good gardener. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful in the king's eyes. He thought, boy, I got to have it. I got to have that. And the Bible says he could not sleep. Said he would toss and turn. Said he would walk up to the windows. He would go and stare at that vineyard. And he wanted it. And it was driving him crazy. Was driving him crazy. He owned everything. But he said, I'll buy it from you, Naboth. He said, I'm offering you money. I'm offering you wealth like you have never seen. He said, I will give you another farm that's got thousands and thousands of more acres. You'll be such a big deal. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. And I love the great response and the lesson that Naboth gave us. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. First Kings 21. Look what he said. He said, God forbid that I should sell out what my father has handed down to me. That's what he said. God forbid that I should sell out what my father has handed down to me. You think you can just offer me a couple dollars for it? Come on. That verse ought to move you. That verse ought to move you. I can't sell you this vineyard. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. That come from my daddy. And his daddy, and his daddy, and his dad. I can't sell you this vineyard. It's not for sale. The worship was passed down from generation to generation. The blessings of God, the knowledge, the prayer was all passed down from generation to generation. And I want to tell you, church, if you'll be led by the Spirit, He's put a blessing in your family. If you'll be led by the Spirit, He's put a blessing in your family. There's something that you will absolutely explode with fruitfulness if you'll let God use what He put in your spiritual and physical DNA to manifest. Amen. Did you hear me? You will explode with fruitfulness if you allow God to use whatever He put in your physical and your spiritual DNA to manifest. Amen. There's something in you. There's something in you. You got to let it manifest. I guess what I'm trying to preach to you is that it's in the family. And something in you has to say that I've got to get it in my kids. I've got to get it in my kids. I've got to. I can't allow bickering spirits and rivalries and I can't allow mess to get in here and mess up my family because the enemy wants that stuff to disconnect family to family. Amen. It's coming. If he can disconnect your family, you can't receive the blessing. Church, guard your inheritance. Amen. You have to guard your inheritance. It's in the family. It's your job to pass it on. It's your job to pass it on. Amen. The Bible said that Naboth was killed by King Ahab. His wife Jezebel said, why are you up all night pacing the floor and back and forth? He said, why don't you just kill him and take it? That's what he said. Why are you stressing out about it? Jezebel said, why don't you just kill him and take it? And God got so upset when somebody touched that family inheritance. Amen. God got so upset, listen, that he had blessed that family with, the inheritance that he had given them, the inheritance that he had blessed that family with generations and generations before. He got so upset. The scripture says this in 1 Kings, look at 21:19. God used the prophet Elijah. God used the prophet Elijah to speak to Ahab. And he walked up and he told him, he said, because you have done this, the dogs will lick up your blood. The dogs will lick up your blood exactly where you killed Naboth at. Now watch. God got so upset with him messing with the family inheritance. He says that the dogs will lick up your blood. Read the story in chapter 22, how Ahab died. Read it, 1 Kings chapter 22, how Ahab died. And guess what? The dogs licked up his blood according to the word of God. Just like he had spoken. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you, church, is you better not mess with the inheritance of God. You better not mess with the anointing that is on a family. When God lays his hands on a family, listen, and he blesses that family, God takes notice of all the enemies of that inheritance. Did you hear that? When God blesses your family and he gives you, he notices the enemies of that inheritance. Amen. It so bothered him. He told Ahab, you've seen it. When we're connected, one can put 1,000 to flight. And when a family is connected, two can put 10,000. Amen. God wants families to hold it together. God wants marriages to hold it together. He wants dads and moms to hold it together. To the amount that you hold it together is the amount of blessing that is going to come onto your life and your family. Amen. Amen. Listen, that's why forgiveness is not an option. What you meant, y'all, I'm preaching pretty good today, and y'all ain't. That's why forgiveness is so important. He said, what you meant for my evil, family, God used it for my good. That's why forgiveness is so important. Because you got to keep your family connected. I see your little tactic, Satan. I ain't falling for it. What you meant for evil, Satan, God has used it for my good. What you meant for evil, dad who ran off and left and wasn't there, what you meant for my evil, God meant it for my good. I refuse to hate you. I refuse to be bitter at you. I refuse to come against you. And when God sees that, he says, okay, everything's checked. Open up and send the blessing. Because when you're running around mad and full of hate, he's like, I refuse to hate you. I refuse to be bitter at you, family. And God's like, okay, check. That's checked off. Okay, send the blessing. Man, that's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Man, well, you don't understand, Pastor. Yeah, I understand. I promise you I understand. You don't know. Yes, I do. What I'm trying to tell you is you need to get that word inheritance into your vocabulary. Amen. You need to get that. Our children were not born to satisfy our parental instinct. They were born to carry out the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ to another generation. You need to get that word inheritance in your vocabulary. You got to. And God has a long-range plan for your family. Do you know that? God has a long-range plan for your family. Yes, he does. God has a long-range plan, and that's what the enemy wants to disconnect. Do you see that? God has a long-range plan for your family, and if God, oh boy, if the enemy can get y'all not talking to no, do you see? Do you see that? He's got a long-range plan for your family. Don't curse your own seed. Amen. The enemy wants to disconnect you and mess you up from that long-range plan. Don't curse your own seed. Don't curse your own family. Well, you don't know what my son's out there doing. You don't know what my daughter's out there doing. It's just terrible. Well, you know what? They may not be the best, but they was the best you could do. Your kids might not be the best. Come on now. They was the best you could do because they came from you. Amen. So before I wanted to throw my kids away and I got to say, well, they're the best that I could produce. Come on. Boy, y'all a dead bunch this morning. Man. Y'all a dead bunch this morning. Listen, don't curse them, bless them. That's all I'm trying to say. Don't curse them, bless them. The blessing is stronger than a time of disobedience and rebellion. The blessing is mightier. Don't bless your kids. Don't curse them, bless them. You know what I'm saying? Man, y'all got to get a hold of that one. Don't curse them, bless them. The blessing is stronger. Do you hear me? The blessing is stronger. The blessing is mightier. Maintain your godly inheritance, church, so you can pass it on to your children. He said, I won't sell it for money. You think you can just come up and throw money at me for this? I'm going to sell this for money. That's what Naboth said. Did you listen to his answer? He said, this is the inheritance of my fathers. I want it for my sons. Amen. Come on. He said, this is the inheritance of my fathers. I want it for my sons. This property. Everything God has given me is going to my sons and my family. This is our inheritance. This is what the Lord has blessed us with. And you want to just come in here with money and take what God has given us? I got to pass it on. Everybody say, pass it on. I got to pass it on. Amen. And Jezebel set up Naboth. Jezebel set up Naboth, sent two false witnesses. She killed his sons too. Killed both of his sons. Listen, the law said if Naboth died, it would go to his sons. It was a male-dominated society, and it would go to his sons. But the scriptures say not only did Jezebel kill Naboth, but she had his two sons killed as well. Okay? It was a decisive attempt of Satan to destroy the generational blessing. Church, it was a decisive attempt of Satan to destroy the generational blessing. It went all the way back from Manasseh to Joseph to Jacob and then ultimately to Naboth. And now Satan is attacking that family with such hatred and such vengeance. He is going to attack it. And he said, the generational blessing is going to stop at this generation. I am going to kill Naboth. I am going to kill his two sons. And the generation's going to stop. And Ahab can take over the vineyard. And God says, oh, no, you're not. God says, oh, no, you will not. Let me tell you something. Naboth died before Ahab ever took possession of it. Naboth died before he would give it up. It was too precious. Are y'all following me? It was too precious. He wouldn't give it up, and they killed the boys, and all the children of that covenant family became a target. Do you realize that? All of your children, all the children of that covenant family became a target. And when you are trying to pass down the spiritual blessings from God, I promise you, you got a target on your back. Amen. All the children of that covenant family became a target. Ahab, the Bible says, listen to this. The Bible said Ahab was part of the blessing in 1 Kings. It says that he gave up his inheritance when he married Jezebel. Do you know what can mess your spiritual inheritance up? When you marry the wrong person. When you marry the wrong person, you can greatly hinder it. Who you marry? He married the high priestess of Baal. Her name was Jezebel. He was raised in the faith. Ahab was taught the Torah. He remembered the first five books of the Old Testament. He knew all of it. He had the spiritual inheritance. He prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he fell in love with Ms. Jezebel, the high priestess of the Baal God, who offered human sacrifices, who did blood sacrifices. Who you marry can mess up your spiritual inheritance. Do you understand that? Church. Who you marry can mess up your generation. Well, I just feel like I love him, and I just feel like I love her, and I just feel it. Well, let me tell you something. Marriage ain't about feelings. It's about work. Well, I just feel like I love him. Well, marriage is about work. How in the world can you be married to someone with another God? Ahab walks in to read the Bible and pray, and she's over here having seances playing with tarot cards. He gave up his, who you marry. Listen, let me go. There's an amazing story in the book of Numbers. Listen to this. It's a story about the fact that there was no opening for women to receive the inheritance unless they were married. Amen. And there were five daughters in the time of Moses. Their father was killed. They did not have brothers. Therefore, under the law, there was no provision for the five single daughters to receive the inheritance. And I want to show this to you because it's important. Look at this, Numbers chapter 27. It says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad. Listen to this. The son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Macher, make whatever, the son of Manasseh, We've been talking about him. Amen. The son of Manasseh. Listen. From the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and these were the names of his daughters. Now, if you're pregnant and you're expecting a little baby girl and you want some good family names, here comes a few. Okay? Mala, Noah, Hogla. She'll love you the rest of her life if you give her that name. You can call her Piggy for short. Hey, Mala, Noah, Hogla. Look at this one right here. Milcah, Tesla, Terza, Tree. Come on, y'all. I don't have time to show you all of this right here, but this happened. Read it for yourself later. Read it. But let me tell you what happened. It's beautiful. This is when God joined the Equal Rights Amendment. Amen, somebody. Come on, y'all. This is when God joined the ERA. He did. Watch this. Women had no rights. If their daddy died or they had no brothers or husbands, these girls were all single. And the law said they had no right to the inheritance of the land. And these girls got together. Boy, I can see them in my mind. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Like I can see these five women. Oh, my Lord. I can see these five women and they all got together and they're sitting around. I mean, you know, this ain't right. This ain't right. No Tesla pipes up and says, well, you know, this ain't right. This just ain't right. We got to do something. And then here comes Milcah. She coming in there. This ain't right. We got to do something. And then old Hogla pops in. Boy, Miss Piggy starts chiming up on you. And, well, we got to do something. We can't do. Can you see what's going on here? Listen, all five of them got so stirred up. Boy, we got to do something about this. It ain't right. And they went down and walked into the temple. Do you understand in those times, women were not allowed in the temple. Women were not allowed to walk up to the high priest. Women were not allowed to walk up to the prophet Moses. Amen. They got so stirred up. And the scripture says in verse 2, look at this, that they walked right to the temple. Stood right before Moses, right before Eleazar the high priest, all the leaders of the congregation said, well, you know, this ain't right. This ain't right. It ain't right. Come on now. I'm working hard up here, y'all. You know what they did? And then they go in before the leaders of all of them. Boy, you can see them. They're mad. Well, I know this ain't in the book. I know this ain't in the book, but this ain't right. This ain't right. And Moses was so wise, y'all. Listen, Moses was so wise because he saw what was happening. All the priests were looking. All the leaders was looking. All the elders was looking. God and everybody was looking. Amen, somebody. God and everybody was looking, and these girls were stirred up. Boy, they was upset because they wasn't getting the inheritance. And you know what? The Bible says in Numbers 27:5, Moses brought their case before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Moses did what any good man ought to do when he is confronted by a stirred up woman. Huh? You better pray about it. You better take it to the Lord when you got a woman coming at you. Y'all, oh, what a great response. Moses said, oh, calm down, Hogley. I got to pray about it. I got to take it to the Lord. I love these girls. These are gutsy girls. They said this ain't right. They fought for their inheritance. They were courageous women who refused to let their inheritance die. Boy, I wish I had 100 women in here this morning. I wish I had some women that would fight. Like, it ain't just the men's job. Amen. Where's the women at? Huh? Y'all trying to leave a legacy? Oh, you see what I did there? Pass it on. Pass it on. And you know what God said to Moses? God said, you know what? They're right. Give it to them. but with one stipulation. But one stipulation on it. One little one. Let them know if they hook up with the wrong person. Come on, church. Let them know if they hook up with the wrong person, they can lose their inheritance. They must marry in the tribe. This is not a racial thing, it's a spiritual thing. This is not a racial thing, it is a spiritual thing. You gotta guard your inheritance. And when you're marrying somebody, the number one question ought to be, do you love Jesus? Will you serve Jesus with me? Will you build a home that will be glorified of the Lord Jesus Christ with me? Amen. Will you raise babies in the faith with me so we can pass it on for generations after generations after generations after generations, and the blessing can be passed on and passed on.